Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. It has been a long journey. You just got back from ye olde Montreal.
Yes, I did. I am back from DreamHack. If you guys are watching the video, you can probably see I have something in my cheek. I have con crud, which is amazing. So nice. I am sucking on halls right now.
Did you like
to keep my voice as long as possible?
Who do you think patient one is? Like the con crud patient one. Is it like some dude who dressed up?
You
mean patient
zero?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you meant like the patient one. I'm like, I don't know anyone who played in the Hearthstone tournament because that was a gigantic load of crap.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I actually did mean patient zero, but I mean, I guess that's a whole other story. The Hearthstone tournament stuff, but
yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. But anyways, yeah, Montreal was great. Thank you very much for the recommendation for the Port of Montreal, because we went and did Old Montreal was a very short walk from our hotel, and we went and did the amphibibus. So we did the city tour on the bus that then turns into a boat.
What?
So yeah, it was pretty awesome.
See, this
we saw like all the boring architectural stuff in an hour. And then we just got to go and have beers that were like as big as wine bottles. It was amazing.
That's kind of how like it works. And I mean, I went to Boston last October, and it's sort of the same idea as Montreal, where you can spend hours looking at old buildings, but then you can go to some really cool restaurants and really cool pubs and get some really cool craft beers and stuff like that, but local beers and stuff. But no, there are some key spots in Montreal where we went into the buildings and looked around. It was really neat. But the one thing I was jealous of is that we went to the port in March, which it was a seasonable March. It was very warm, and we were able to walk around and enjoy it without worrying about, you know, snowstorms and stuff. But I imagine in the summer it looks amazing, and the amphibibus or whatever sounds like a dream come true. Like, kind of, everybody wants everybody wants a vehicle that can go in water. I mean, I know, yeah. I do.
Except the only problem was the girl that was a couple seats ahead of me, like, totally puked.
Really? Like, what?
Yeah, just like, side out, like a full like head and shoulders over the side of the boat, just puked. And Matt missed it. He was sitting next to me and didn't even see it happen. It was pretty funny.
Now, that's the thing.
I was talking about it later, and I'm like, I can't believe someone actually threw up. And he was like, what? Yeah, dude. Like, literally right in front of us.
And that's the problem, though, right? Like, if someone throws up on the bus, like, does it start a chain reaction? Or did they nip it in the bud? Like, she puked, and then it was like Disneyland. Someone came in and...
Nobody said anything. Nobody said anything. Nobody talked about it. It just kind of happened. And she was sitting by herself, and
aww.
I was like, aw.
No one went to console her? She was sitting by herself, and she just puked. I'm like, I got this.
She didn't even say anything. She just literally, like, puked and then sat back down like nothing happened.
Oh, she's probably embarrassed. Like,
yeah, I'm sure she... Well, that's why I didn't say anything. I didn't want to make her feel bad.
It's the unwritten rule of boating, right? Especially if that boat, like, transitions from road to boat so quickly. I can see that being an unwritten rule of, like, if someone gets sick, you leave them be and be like, all right, as long as she's still, like, she gets the thumbs up, like, the mental thumbs up, then you're good. No, it's good to hear that one of the highlights was someone puking on an amphibious bus.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Not the puking part, the amphibibus part.
Yeah.
It was also, yeah, I mean, DreamHack was a totally awesome and unique experience. I'd never been to a LAN, so it was really, really cool to see. Like, I didn't kind of realize that the majority of the venue was going to be just nerds with their computers. It was so freaking cool.
Neat.
It was like just computers everywhere, and then there was like this little spot for like indie games and a little spot for like vendors, and then like big stages around the outside, but like the majority of the floor plan was just like huge gaming rigs and computers and stuff. The only thing was, I kind of wish that they had set it up so that you had all the people playing the same game together, because I felt really disjointed from the Hearthstone crowd. Like, I had no idea who anyone was, who was competing. Like, I feel like it would have been a lot easier on the admins too if all the Hearthstone players were in the same spot. But it was basically just choose your own seating. So I think that that could have been done better or differently. But right. It's also tough, too, because then if you end up playing against somebody that you're sitting next to, you know, then it's like, well, do you put, like, little blinders or something? Like, retractable? Like, yeah. So, I mean, it has other problems, but I just wish they had said, like, if you're playing Hearthstone, like, choose an area in rows, like, A through F or something. But they didn't. So I was, like, we were sitting, like, right at the back because we didn't want to be too close to the main stage because of the noise. Right. And, yeah, so there was, like, no one playing Hearthstone around me whatsoever. So I was kind of like, oh, I don't even know where anybody is or what's going on or what anybody looks like because a lot of them aren't streamers. So... yeah, I was just like, yeah, I felt a little bit disconnected. And the admitting of the tournament was terrible. So kind of anything that might have helped them would probably have been good. But yeah, so what have you been up to other than running the show without me, which I hear was fantastic?
Yeah, the show went well. John from Core and Azeroth Roundtable joined up to talk more about No Man's Sky. And I promise that if anything new comes up, I will mention No Man's Sky, but I probably won't bring it up each week just to have the same conversation of, yes, it's still boring, yes, I'm still playing, yes, I'm still enjoying my time. It's one of those games, and it's something we nailed last night, was just, it's one of those games that's certainly not for everybody, and when people, like, try it because someone says, oh, it's really great, try it, and don't enjoy it, you can kind of tell when someone's not going to like that game. And really, you have to kind of be able to enjoy a game that's just relaxing. There's some goalposts there, but they're so far away that you're not really worried about progressing. You're just more worried about having a laid-back experience. And I think an experience akin to, like, Gone Home or Firewatch or Inside, in which it's one of those smaller, tighter, different gaming experiences.
Even then, I don't know if I would lump Gone Home in there because, like, Firewatch to me didn't have any of that kind of, I don't want to say, like, scare factor, but, like, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time through Gone Home because, like, I didn't really know anything about it, and I was just constantly expecting some sort of a supernatural something or, you know, like, it's got a lot of, like, without being in your face jump scary, but I mean, like, the lightning goes off right at the right moment sort of thing. So, like, with Gone Home, I felt like I was, like, the whole time, and I don't get that from No Man's Sky whatsoever.
No, I meant more, I understand, yeah, like, the games that I mentioned nail pacing in the way that it's a short 2 to 3 hour different experience. The pacing there, you know, supports the fact that this is a smaller title, a smaller scope, but No Man's Sky is just so huge that there really is no pacing whatsoever to the game. It's just like, you do you, go where you want to go. You're probably going to do the same thing on every planet, rinse, repeat, but you make your own fun. And for some reason, if you don't want to, say, collect minerals on this planet, then you just jet off and you go to the next one. And it's not meant to be this, yeah.
It's kind of funny because both Matt and Adam have been both of them playing all day long. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, I'm watching you guys play and I'm like, I don't understand why you would ever play this game ever. Like,
I think it's just, to me, I mean, I've played, like, look at World of Warcraft. I play it every year and a half. It's a great game. It's fun, but it's still World of Warcraft. Look at every MMO that launches. It's still just another MMO, like Call of Duty. It's the same thing over and over again. And when something new comes up, it's just so fascinating to try something new. And, like, I'm not saying No Man's Sky is this, like, super entertaining product, but not every game needs to be that. And especially for me, who
doesn't have time to play everything. Form of entertainment needs to be entertaining. Is that what you just basically
said? No, I think you're sort of, you know, mixing in negatives into my positives here. Like, you look at films, right? Like, there are films out there that aren't, like, action packed. Not every film is a Michael Bay film. Some of them are, like, thoughtful processing movies.
They still have a story to them. Like,
yeah,
still,
but not every game needs a story. Like, you can enjoy certain gameplay loops that just click with you. And I mean, if they don't click with you, that's fine. Then it's not a game. Like, we've had the conversation in the Discord, like, where a couple people have said, like, oh, it's just not for me. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you return the game and you try something new. There's so much out there that, like, having the conversation, the back and forth for 2-3 weeks in a row about, I really enjoy it, you think it's boring, fine, that's great. Just don't play it. It's $80 you've just saved, or $80 you've just spent on Hearthstone cards or Heroes or the next game that's coming out. Like, there's just so many titles out there. But I'm really enjoying No Man's Sky. It's a nice laid back. And yes, if there is one thing I really wish it had, was more of a story, because there is a story there, but you really got to dig for it. And that's kind of frustrating, because you play games like Mass Effect and the sci-fi story is right there in front of your face, and it's such a great story, and there's room there for that story in No Man's Sky. But they're not storytellers, those guys. They're more they're more creating this, you know, sandbox. And really, that's what it is. It's just one of those sandbox titles that's just grabbed me for some reason. But by Fair enough, it's not perfect.
Yeah, I still don't think it's for me at all.
Sure. I don't think so either, right? Like, and that's fine. I mean, there are games that that you play and you know, we talk about them, and I'm sure there are games that you've played that say, this is probably a game that I'm going to enjoy, probably a game that Ryan's not going to enjoy. I think we've been talking about games long enough.
You play everything.
Yeah, but I hate games sometimes. I don't know, hate's a strong word, but I don't see. Yeah, but so is that the difference, Jocelyn? You just know how to hate video games? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
I personally, whatever floats your boat. Like, if you like No Man's Sky, great. If you don't, also great. You just saved yourself $80. I don't know what else to say about it, but yeah, a lot of people share your
sorry
opinion.
I wasn't ignoring you, I was sneezing.
That's fine. I was just filling the void that was your sneeze, I guess. Why don't we bring someone in who agrees with you, because Vent's been talking about it, and it wouldn't hurt to break this ice and have someone that agrees with you.
Yeah.
There are people that
I don't mind when you don't agree with me. I think it's fine. You're just wrong. That's all. And, you know, as long as you understand that.
In your opinion, I'm wrong. I understand that in your opinion, I'm wrong. But,
oh, Ryan.
I like the game. I don't like it when I like something and you don't. It makes me feel bad. But, Vent evidently disappeared.
The thing that we both did like today was that Overwatch short. Oh, my God. So many feels. And it's so funny because, like, Blizzard is able to paint this super amazing picture without even saying a freaking word. Like, it was so good. I just want them to make an Overwatch movie.
There was no
word. There is not one word.
Huh. Yeah. I don't even think
like Reinhardt says anything in like the flashback moment. Like, I don't even think he says, like, get behind me or anything.
The weird thing about that short is that it's freaking dark. There are people dying in that short, and it sort of illustrates where Overwatch is now in the timeline as opposed to what happened before that. And really, the only shed of information we've gotten on the past in Overwatch is from these shorts, and seeing the war between the Omnix and, I don't know, humanity, I guess. Like, it was it was kind of jarring.
Did you see what I meant about the army of Bastions, though?
Yeah. Maybe I don't want that. That is very terrifying. And we joke about hating an army of Bastions, but that was literally, like, just a whole bunch of Bastions, and they were tearing up phase. Every time one of them, like, converted into a turret, I was having, you know, like, frustrations. I'm like, I just want to take the point, Bastion. You're such a dink. And and it was interesting to watch sort of the change, the shift in that robot, all thanks to, like, a little bird that was trying to build a nest. And
you're going to be able to buy that little bird plushie from the gear store in the fall.
That doesn't interest me. Are you going to buy that bird? Are you really going to buy that bird? Okay.
Yes.
You probably have Pee-Pee or whatever his name is.
Pepe.
Okay.
Pee-Pee.
His name's not Pee-Pee.
No, I actually, and you can kind of, wait, can you see it? There's my plushie shelf. There's all my plushies are up there. Oops. totally messed the camera up. But I love the specifically I love the whelps, but I love the Blizzard plushies. They're
what,
so good.
I didn't know the bird I had love a name. In Greymane or what was it? Greymane or
Ganymede?
Ganymede. I'm all over the place.
Greymane.
I know his name's not Greymane, but I dug that short so good. It was really well done. And if this is the start of season two of these shorts, I don't know. Like, what do they do next? And they're clearly going through the characters, right? They've done Winston. They've done Soldier 76. They did now Bastion. Oh, and they did Genji and Hanzo.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done Tracer yet, right? Like, Tracer was in the original.
No, we got Widow.
They did Tracer.
Oh, they did?
Oh,
Widowmaker.
Yeah, it
right.
was Widowmaker.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But that wasn't really... That was more Widowmakers than Tracers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do her story when mm-hmm. when she became Tracer.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I
want to see
like an origin story.
Yeah, I want to see like her accident. Although they kind of talked about the accident in some of the original sort of material for the game when it was being announced. But I don't know. I want to see.
Kalani's also saying that Reaper was in Winston's, but I really hope we get more out of Reaper because of who Reaper used to be, right?
Sure.
So like, I want to see more Reaper. Like, I want to see an actual like Soldier 76 and Reaper something.
I think the Bastion one has been the best, not only because it's the best produced in the sense that it looked amazing, it had great sound, it was just well, I want to say choreographed, but that's not the right word. Like, it's not like cinematography
directed.
Directed, thank you. Yeah, it was well directed, and it also was one of the only ones that sort of shed light on the war, like the old war. All the other ones have been sort of like just before the Overwatch game takes place. Like, it almost feels like if there was a story in Overwatch, the game, most of those videos would have been leading up to the game. But this one feels like a really great use of flashback. And even though it was definitely like the origin of Bastion, you know, waking up and becoming, you know, the last Omnic robot or whatever, thank the gods, but it was just so dark, like when it flashed back and like this robot is suffering from PTSD or whatever, where he like turns into a turret in the middle of the forest. I was worried he was gonna kill the bird, and I mean, spoiler alert, we know the bird lives because he's in the game when you win and get play of the game as Bastion, but I don't know. I was thinking he's going to kill one of these birds, and that's like that's going to be the tearjerk moment right there. But they're probably saving that for the sequel, probably.
You know? You thought he was going to like kill his little bird friend, but then like a little baby bird was going to pop out of the nest or something, and that was going to be the bird that was going to be Bastion's friend.
Right. Oh man, it's almost like we can write the sequel. Okay, like
I know, right?
He sees Reinhardt, and he has like another like PTSD moment, and like shifts back into Red Face, and then he shoots. And he kills the bird, but it turns out like the bird's dead. But then the bird had an egg all this time, and
Man, Blizzard thought they had us with the feels, but they've got nothing on me and Ryan.
Really, they just need to steal the whole like Wally subplot and just turn it into a Bastion movie. I mean, really, like it's all right there. You don't even have to write it. You just put Bastion into Wally, and you're good. But I think that you know, all the comparisons to Wally is great and all, but. It's just a really well done short, and they nailed it. They nailed the character. Like, they've turned what is effectively just this robot turret into this amazing, like, heartfelt character. And really all they need to do is take Toblerone's turret and give it a similar treatment. And then everyone will turn around and think Toblerone's the best in his turret.
Yeah.
And all those play of the games will be amazing. Who do they do next? Like, who do you think they do next?
I guess it depends. Have we actually seen anything else come out of the Overwatch team at Gamescom? Like, I know we got a new map, but I don't know if we got a new hero, because if we're gonna get a new hero, then obviously the new hero is gonna be the next one. But
well, did they do Ana?
Yeah, they did her origin story.
But they gave her like
her intro or whatever.
But did they give her
her a voiceover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was all like the moving picture stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like her emotes and stuff.
Oh, I see. I mean, some Kalani in the chat room is saying they're holding off on doing Reaper's origin because they have to. They had to introduce Ana and maybe Sombra. Who is Sombra? Okay, there's something going on.
It's this mythical sniper.
It's another sniper?
Apparently.
Oh, why do we need another sniper? I'm already terrible with the first two they have in the game.
I know.
Like, come on, people, give us some cool characters that us plebs can do, or plebs, or whatever they call them. But
plebs,
yeah, plebs. Thank you.
plebs.
Plebs. Who has Concrud? Maybe you're infecting me over the internet. Yep. So Sombra is related to Ana and Reaper. Like, is Sombra like another mom or sister in the game?
It's a secret, sort of.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a secret. Okay, well, they're, you can, like, tell me. Yeah, no one's listening.
There's different, like, kind of like hints and clues and stuff, right, that have been in some of the Overwatch whatchamacallums, Overwatch shorts. So,
oh, right,
some people think that that they figured out who the next person is.
You sure it isn't just the internet, like, latching on to weird misplaced HTML tags that didn't mean to be there or something?
No, it's like, it was like an Easter egg at the end of the videos.
Oh, okay. So Kalani's also saying Sombra was a member of Blackwatch, which is,
I don't even know.
I guess it's just an organization of snipers and shotgun wielders at this point.
Oh, I was playing Reaper the other day. I've been trying to get my summer games loot boxes, which I'm failing at miserably, but I had a solid game as Reaper. That guy's fun.
Yeah,
but
he is fun.
yeah, Sombra, I mean, if they're gonna like really hint and tease at this new character, I could see them giving her a full-fledged origin story that kind of brings in Reaper and Ana and Justice reigning. I'm terrible with names.
See, and like, I guess, so this is part of my problem, is okay, that, you know, like, there's shorts and there's comics and there's all this other information. I didn't even know the Blackwatch was a thing, but I guess that they're the bad guys. They're the Reaper and the...
Oh, they are... Okay, Blackwatch was a Black Ops division of Overwatch. So those are the guys that went in, like, with helicopters and behind enemy lines.
I just wish that this was in the game. Like, yeah. I hate that, you know, like, I like this game and I play this game, but I don't know all of the story because it's, like, all split off into all of these little different pockets, and I'm like, damn it, just put it all in one place so that I can just, you know, like, enjoy it while I'm playing your stupid game.
Yeah, this is something we talked about yesterday as well. John was saying, like, you know, I'm not particularly interested in, like, first person shooters. Like, I like my first person shooters, but they're not my go-to game, especially for just competitive multiplayer. And the story not being in the game is a little frustrating. It'd be like, mm-hmm, Halo launching with just multiplayer. I wouldn't go for that. Like, I go to Halo for my campaign stuff, right? So, dude and Kalani are going back and forth, basically giving us the Overwatch overview kind of thing. With Ana was Soldier 76, second in command. It was a clash between Reaper and Soldier 76 that brought down Overwatch and blew up the base. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah, so, like, that's stuff that there. I knew, but... Exactly, this is the thing, is they have a great world, and they have a great backstory, but we're getting this, like, crazy weird drip feed, and it's not even all, like, drip-fed through cinematics, and it's not available in-game. It's, like, there's some digital comics, and there's, like, just... Oh, I wish it was just in the freaking game.
And this
I don't think that was Reinhardt in the Bastion trailer thing.
What?
Who was it?
He's wearing the armor of the dude that's sitting on the throne that you have to go get in the new map.
Oh, so you're saying it's not Reinhardt? It certainly looked like.
No,
him.
I think it's that dude, and he got injured in that battle, and he went back to his throne to die.
Oh,
because that is not Reinhardt's armor.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But it's all Reinhardt's abilities.
Yeah,
but there was like a clan of those people. That new map is going to have like, that's where Reinhardt's from.
The castle.
I've missed a lot of Gamescom. I haven't heard a lot of the announcements, but
well, there hasn't.
But again,
been,
but like, this is just even proving my point even more that like, I play the game and I saw that cinematic and I was like, of course that's Reinhardt, because that's what Reinhardt's powers are, and it's really cool that they're putting Reinhardt into Bastion's cinematic. Like, yay, because I like Reinhardt. And now, like, you're saying, oh, well, this because of this thing and this other random thing. And I'm just like, god damn it, like, just give me this story, Blizzard.
Right.
Here, I'm gonna get this
So while you're looking something up, I was just going to say, if it this is the drip feed that sort of Blizzard's chosen for story for this game, and obviously people are digging in, the drip feed's awesome, but does that make you want to go play the game? Because when you go to play the game, it's like that drip feed isn't there. It's get Tracer who's running and get the Olympic stuff. Like, it has nothing to do with the story they're even talking about, and I'd love to see them do what Heroes does, where it's like, here's a cool cinematic, and we're doing the theme Shadows of War, whatever, War of Machines or something, and it's all StarCraft focused, and everybody gets a mech, you get a mech, and you get a mech, and you actively want to go in. It's like, oh man, I'm all in for this machine of war, and I'm going to buy this StarCraft skin for my favorite character, you know? And why aren't they doing that in Overwatch? Like, why? I know they already have the Bastion Overgrown skin. That would have been my go-to for the skin associated with this new video. But like, that's how you get people to give you money, Blizzard. You make a cool cinematic, and then you sell things that are featured in the cinematic. Yeah. And I don't know, like, that would get me to want to go in and spend more. I was this close to buying summer loot boxes, but then I realized, like, I don't want to pay $20 for items that I swore I would get by just playing the game. And I'm fine with getting, you know, those games through playing. Those items through playing. I want some of those summer game items, you know? And I don't know.
I've missed a huge chunk of time because I was on vacation for a week. So I've just kind of decided I'm just not going to get anything.
So there's a dead dude in this castle. Why didn't they clean the castle? Like, why don't they get rid of this? There's literally a dead dude.
And yeah, and well, that's the payload objective.
To get the dead dude out? Like, they couldn't hire... He's like
the leader of Reinhardt's family. This is Reinhardt's new armor, by the way. A new skin.
Oh. Okay. So they are doing what I just said they should do. Perfect. Blizzard listens and acts very quickly, like almost instantaneously. Sure.
The whole objective of the new map is to retrieve the body.
Oh, they're literally
like, which is, yeah, I guess it's kind of weird. I guess it's not no more weird than any other game mechanic where you're moving the same payload along the same streets over. But
it's the same as the new Numbai. Oh, what is that? The green map, whatever it is.
Oh,
where you have the gauntlet on the car.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Numbai. You have to take the... Well, yeah, on the payload, there's the gauntlet, and you're taking it to the new museum.
Yeah.
That's the objectives that's are so there funny, on the map.
I've literally never noticed that before, ever.
So there's things in the payload, is what you're saying. The payloads are story-based. Okay.
I don't know what the London one is. It might just be Blackwatch trying to bomb something.
How long has this body been sitting here, and why did they take so long to retrieve it? Because the body was there from the fight?
Well, look at the Bastion next to it.
Yeah, so this isn't... But it's after the fight, right? Like, how long?
We don't know the state of his body, but the armor is still intact.
I suppose. Maybe it's like, ooh, I wouldn't get in that. I'd at least clean it out if someone decomposed in there. Ew. I just say, I'm giving you Vent a hard time for some reason, but it's not your fault that this isn't making sense. And it's all Gamescom. It's all here and there. Obviously, everyone's paying attention to the cool cinematic that dropped, but. I'm excited that they're
Kalani,
adding more to it.
Kalani is saying that London is an EMP bomb to blow up the Omnix in the underground. Yeah, definitely didn't realize that. So then it's like, do you want to be escorting the payload or do you want to be defending? Like, so are the people who are attacking the bad guys then because they're trying to escort the bomb into the underground?
I bet it's all war games.
I don't know.
Simulations.
Yeah, it's not real. Like, I don't think there's nothing... Overwatch, the game, has no impact on Overwatch, the story. You know, there's no story behind six Tracers fighting six Hanzos because someone says, everybody be Tracer, it's going to be cool. And then, you lose.
It's essentially the same thing as, say, Doom back in the day or Quake, whatever, where you got the story mode and then you got multiplayer, which has nothing remotely to do with the story.
Right, but except, there's no story mode.
Doesn't have that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where things kind of fall apart a little bit.
especially, I honestly just think they're war games, like Winston's running scenarios on his computer.
Well, well, no, we got the cinematic of him calling back Overwatch. Like, mm-hmm. So was that cinematic just a clever ad for the game, or was that actually story? And we're gonna get like the story post Overwatch soon.
I think maybe it's just an advertisement for a movie. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
But then I think that goes back to the original issue. Like, maybe it'll be a good movie, but doesn't fix the issue we have with the game, which is that there's no... And, you know, Overwatch is a fun game. That I am not going to say it's not a fun game because there's no story. But mm-hmm. I'm... You know, because the gameplay is there to support a fun game.
These little cinematics just make you want the story.
Exactly. Yes. Agreed.
They just want me to go as an all-Bastion team and sit there and wave at people.
Yeah. I think that's what we need to do, really, is based on this short, we should all play Bastion and then have the other team be Reinhardt, and then and then we can all have like these weird flashbacks as Reinhardt like says, "Get to the payload," or whatever he says.
Oh no, I think those humans lost.
Oh yeah, they were getting trounced. Even with one Bastion just sitting there staring, like they were getting murdered. Yeah, and this is the thing, like, I agree with Jocelyn, like, seeing this short makes me wish there was more than 7 minutes every 3 months of story mm-hmm. for this game.
It could have been 3 minutes.
True. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I loaded it up, I'm like, 7 minutes? Oh, man. They're going for bank with this one. How long was
the first one? I feel like they've all been around the same.
Yeah. And you know, like Kalani in the chat room is saying, like the most of the story was supposed to be told in game because it was Titan, right? It was the MMO, mm-hmm. and with Titan being scrapped, they kind of, you know, created this core gameplay loop with the multiplayer, and then said, well, we have all this story, all these you know, the game Bible, which basically describes the story of the universe, and how do we get this information out there? And Blizzard doesn't have to be doing what they're doing. Like, they could just not tell the story and maybe sell a book every year. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have to put out free animated shorts that cost probably a good chunk of change to produce.
I'm honestly not really sure why they do it, even.
I think they're doing it because they just love their fans, you know? It's.
I think they're doing it because it's advertising.
Well, okay. You can have the cynical route, and then...
they go friggin' viral. Like, everyone was talking about the last Bastion today on Twitter. Everyone was. Well, even people I know that don't play Overwatch.
Yeah, and what I was going to...
It's amazing.
Exactly, and what I was going to say is basically you have the cynical route where you're saying... what you're saying, but then you have the clueless route where I'm saying, oh, they're just doing it for the fans. Like, there's a medium there, right, where they're doing it for the fans, but clearly they have some sort of target to hit whenever they release these videos. Like, hopefully, you know, there's an uptick in loot box sales and game purchases by releasing these shorts. And I think it's a middle ground. I think they're, you know, they definitely aim down the middle with that. By no means is a company spending millions of dollars just because they love their fans. You know, it's a business. You know, you got to make money. But I don't know. It feels like we're being, like, super negative on what is probably one of the best games that came out this year. It's just, I guess it could be better. I don't know. What if they had, like, the videos play, like, in the hero gallery? So when you look at Bastion, you kind of get, like, the history so far that's been... That's
that
out in the public.
That would be really cool. And then, I would, like, just like it to be collected in the game somehow.
I don't want to go to overwatch.wikia.com to learn about my favorite characters.
I had to read an article. Somebody, I can't remember if it was on Polygon or what, but it was some site that basically collected all the information and said, okay, here is a timeline, here's what you need to know.
Right.
So I didn't even read stuff from Blizzard. Like, I read an article that had kind of, like, pulled all the information that we know of together in one spot. And that was, like, that would have been at the launch. So that was before a lot of comics and stuff like that even came out. So there have been comics and cinematics since then. And, yeah. So, I don't know. I just... the more they show me, the more I wish that they'd just done it better, differently. I don't know. Like, yeah.
I think, really, like, the Hero Gallery should have... similar to Mass Effect, where you have those codex updates where it says, like, update so-and-so timing, like, here's more information on this character and why it's been sourced, you know? Like, there's a way to bring the information that they're telling into the game, and it's not hard. I mean, obviously, there's work involved.
I always love when we tell video game companies what to do. Like, come on, why haven't you done this yet? It's not hard.
And as someone who's been defending No Man's Sky and seeing, like, it's not hard to add multiplayer, it takes a week tops. And I'm like, ooh, guys, come on. It took them 3 years to make this of a team of 15. But no, what I mean basically is just, it would probably, when it comes to game development, obviously adding new UI and collecting information that has to be updated every once in a while, that takes away from the production schedule that they've set. And they have a production schedule that they set months, if not years, in advance. So, sure, it would be difficult, and it would probably set things off. But even like a website, you know, like an Overwatch website officially detailing information, like, this information exists.
Isn't it just playoverwatch.com?
Yeah, like, what if...
They're not seeing if they have everything, like,
sure,
related, but...
I know they have some.
It's like there's a link to the new short on the main page, but...
Right.
Let's see, explore the game. What does this do?
Maybe we're asking for too much.
Actual, the game itself. I mean, that is certainly something they should be criticized for, I think, is that they haven't really done anything to actually collate this stuff.
So if I click on the Bastion...
It does feel like it's just pure marketing.
Yeah, so okay, so if I click on the Bastion... It shows what I wanted to show, which is a overview, like the basic information of the character, and then a story tab that has five paragraphs of where this character come from. You know, it says here, one unique Bastion unit severely damaged in the final battles of the war was left forgotten for over a decade. It lay dormant, exposed to the elements and rusting, while nature slowly reclaimed it. So this story description is basically describing that short.
The short, yeah.
So, okay, maybe we already have it, but again, like Jocelyn's saying, it's out of the game. I have to seek it out. And there's all the related media. So you have the screenshots, the ability overview, the short. I'm sure if you load up Anna, it has the comics that they put in there for related media. You know, it's all there.
A story tab would be nice.
So they have a story tab. You just got to go to the website.
You just have to go into, yeah.
But it doesn't look like there's, I don't know.
I mean, but there's, I mean, if you go to media, okay, there's a list of everything, but I mean, it's kind of there.
We have to work for it, damn it. I don't want to work for it. I don't know.
But I find too, like, it's not even, like, I have no idea. Like, looking at comics right now, I have no idea if I should be starting with the Train Hopper comic or if I should be starting with Old Soldiers. Like, I have no idea. So if you guys are wondering, there's like a layout of 8 different comics, 4 in a line across the top and 4 across the bottom. So it's like I have no idea, like, timeline wise what I should be reading first, second, third, whatever. That's, it's the really same sort point of issue with the Warcraft books, right? It's like if you don't go and seek it out, you don't know what order you should read all the Warcraft books in. Whether you want to do it by release or if you want to do it by the way I did it, which is I basically did like a timeline of WoW so that I didn't really spoil anything for myself.
Right.
But yeah, like there's no concept of like what you should watch and when and stuff. So I don't know. Like I think it could be presented in more of a story fashion, but
that's a thing. Like that's an issue. I agree with you. If we had a timeline on the website that basically lined out the stuff we know that's available publicly, and then on that timeline that's like, oh, if you want to learn more about this specific instance of time, read the Train Hopper comic, which describes McCree on the train. I don't know, I never read it, but I think that would be useful and very helpful for gamers like us that really love the stories that Blizzard tries to tell. And I mean, not everybody has time to just like read it all and then piece it together in your head after. Like, I don't want to do that. That's yeah. I did that with Destiny and I did not enjoy it whatsoever. So yeah, I don't know. More maps, certainly welcome. I love the fact that they're adding a new map in like September, they said, so that's exciting. And it looks really good.
So is anyone playing anything that they find really, really fun right now? Let's end this hangout on a positive note.
Yeah.
Starbound.
I was trying out the GoldenEye Source.
Oh, really? What's that?
It is GoldenEye from the Nintendo 64 ported to PC. They've apparently been working on it for like 11 years, and I guess it's just officially released, like the finished product. Mm-hmm. It's multiplayer only, not single player, but it's...
That is okay. I need to find this right now. Is it like on Steam, or is it like...
I don't know if you can download it from Steam, though it integrates into Steam. You can just search GoldenEye Source. I just download it from their website.
Has it been around for a while? I feel like this is something that...
They apparently started working on 2005, and some version of it has been playable essentially the entire time. Though I had never heard of it until there was the announcement that it was officially released, the finished product.
That's amazing.
Games yet. I was just doing it against bots to try it out, but it looks cool.
Neat.
They still have the knife throwing.
I would assume so.
Love that.
I didn't try hitting anyone with a slapper to see if the hit detection isn't complete and utter freaking garbage like it was in the game.
Nah.
Those things are so bad.
Yeah. So is this something... This is why I keep seeing, like, Source SDK in Discord when you're playing this game? Because it requires the Source. Yeah. I don't know. This is...
It's like, it uses a Half-Life 2 engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This looks really cool. In terms of GoldenEye... It was an N64 only title, right? It wasn't on PC.
It was N64 only.
Did they remake it already, or like remake
one for the Wii?
Oh, okay, yeah, there was a GoldenEye for the Wii. The one I'm thinking of is Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark came out as a launch title on the Xbox.
Right.
I wish this was Perfect Dark Source instead of GoldenEye Source, because I like Perfect Dark better.
Yeah, Perfect Dark I think was a better game mechanically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely the successor for sure.
They definitely integrated some features from Perfect Dark. Like, you have the option where you can actually... Well, actually, no. Perfect Dark, I don't think you started with a weapon. You do have an option to start... Have everybody start with a weapon in this, which is a very welcome feature. Mm-hmm. That was always something annoying about GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. Is like, you spawn, someone else sees you where you are, they just run to you and kill you before you even have a gun.
This is interesting. I wonder if it's... You know, I've been seeing a lot of these like fan projects pop up every once in a while, and quickly seeing, you know, copyright lawyers coming
out. Takedown notices?
You know, takedown notices, just protecting copyright in general. And man, I would think if anybody would be protective of their IP, it would be the 007 folks. So I hope this doesn't get taken down, but I mean, if
it's been around for 11 years.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Like, Rare probably doesn't give two craps that someone's, like, remade GoldenEye, and, I don't know. It's exciting, and I hope it stays around for sure. I just find... This is, like, sort of the calm before the storm, right? Like, everyone starts talking about it, and it's getting in the public eye, and then all of a sudden, takedown, great. That's awesome.
I mean, the thing is that it's released for free, nobody's making any money off of it. So that does help. It's considered a total conversion mod, which I think might actually give it some sort of protection.
Sure.
Not entirely sure how all that stuff works, but...
Well, yeah, so there's no stolen assets and stuff.
They've been working on it for 11 years. It's been playable then.
Sure. So you're enjoying it then?
A long time ago. It was cool. I mean, I only played it for like 20 minutes against bots.
Do they have paintball mode?
Yes.
Apparently my sub alerts are still on.
Oh, are they?
I don't even know how they're working right now, because they're not even in this scene, but sorry, everyone. I'm going to go turn that off. No! Stop
Ryan,
it, people.
Just screw around.
Ryan!
You shouldn't have said anything.
Well, it scared the crap out of me.
Oh, it's not even showing up.
Turning them off now.
If anybody else wants to get in on the fun. I played GoldenEye a whole lot back in the N64 days, and this is exciting. I'm excited to see that that someone's giving it the treatment, because when was the last time there was a good 007 game? You know, it was probably this.
The original GoldenEye. I mean, the one on Wii was okay, but I don't like the Wii controls for shooters.
Yeah, I mean,
and honestly, I hate any kind of shooters with modern controls, except for a keyboard and mouse anyway, so... That's going to satisfy.
Good. Well, I'll try this. And it's multiplayer only, right? So there's no, like, it's not a campaign remake.
No. They basically, people are like, why don't you do the campaign? They're like, well, you know, that takes a lot of time and we're all volunteers.
Yeah. Also, you don't want to spend 9 years making a game and have Nintendo tell you to shut it down, which is Kalani talking about Pokemon Uranium, which, you know, I mean, it's been a long time since I've played an official Pokemon game through. I highly doubt I was going to play through a fan-made one, but kudos to people who, man, spend tons of time on these projects, and I know they once they do see the light of day, a lot of people do check them out, and I think there was a Metroid one that got shut down pretty recently as well. It was like a remake of Metroid 2.
Yeah, but, I heard about that.
Yeah, Nintendo's pretty quick to throw lawyers at things.
Yeah.
Of course, there was Mighty No. 9, which they had to change so it wasn't a Mega Man recreation.
Mm.
And then apparently it kind of sucked anyway.
Yeah, it was getting lambasted via reviews and stuff. But no, it's exciting. GoldenEye Source looks neat. I will certainly check it out for sure. Are you playing anything else? You had mentioned Hearthstone, right? You were playing Hearthstone?
I was actually just about to say Hearthstone, but yeah, I've been playing Hearthstone. I think I'm probably going to play in the tournament at the Fireside this weekend.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, just doing the keeping up with my quest and doing the adventure. So far, Karazhan's been great. Easily my favorite adventure since Nax.
I really, really liked the first wing. I thought that the chess game was really cool.
Yeah, and the Magic Mirror is my favorite boss ever.
Mm.
Who's that?
Magic Mirror was good.
Oh, Magic
the
Mirror.
The one that insults you.
I thought you said Imagineer, and I'm like, ooh. I haven't done the Wing 2 yet, so I'm looking forward to the Imagineer. It's like some sort of Disney thing. But no,
you Wing were, 2 yeah, is, it's, I didn't find it as challenging as Wing 1. It didn't have anything that was like way out of the ordinary, really, in terms of mechanics. I found it really easy, and perfect. It was a little bit less imaginative than other things. So,
yeah, that's why I think that Nax was so much better than the other two, because that actually did have some really interesting mechanics that made you think a bit, even on normal.
Mm-hmm.
League had a couple cool things like the minecarts and everything, but sure. I just steamrolled through it, except for I think the Murloc guy had to do something special because you had to go like full aggro or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then the first Rafam one was, it's a cool concept, but really all you're doing is just making a really shitty deck.
Yeah.
Hmm. See, this is the thing. Like, you guys are all, in terms of comparison to me, like hardcore Hearthstone players. And playing these adventures is what I look forward to every 6 months. Like, I loved just the tone of League of Explorers and the story and the characters and even the cards that you got. In theory, I just liked everything they were throwing at me. And I thought Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I think League of Explorers, like, flavor-wise and everything, was really good. I just didn't find the matches to really be
challenging.
Yeah, challenge or even, like, remotely interesting for the most part.
When you have terrible cards like me, it's exciting.
And that is why they said that even way back when they first released Nax, is that, you know, normal is going to be generally very easy because they want everybody to be able to do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which I can see why you guys would hit a wall with it having, decks with thought put into them.
I mean, Nax was easy,
right?
But it did make you at least think a little bit. There were several times where I had to actually make a new deck for some specific reason or whatever. But with League and Blackrock, it's like, just take any decent deck and you're probably going to steamroll through it. Which was, you know, I mean, the whole point, you know, for most of us is really just to get the cards. But still, it's nice when along the way you feel like you're, I don't know,
doing thinking outside the box, not just playing Zoo.
Yeah, not just steamrolling very easy AI.
Or accidentally asking the deck creator to just create a deck with 8 missing cards and then still winning, right? Is what I did.
That would work. Yeah.
It's I understand where you guys are coming from for sure, and I do see it as well, because I think Wing 1, the most fun I had was definitely the chess event, and people were serious, like, that one's really cool, and it would, you know, in my mind, it would be interesting to see more of that than building a unique deck to get through a challenge. Like, I would rather see more of the chess event than just here's a really hard mechanic that you have to build a deck for. And
I thought the chess event, like the minecart things, were cool.
Mm-hmm.
they just seemed so very easy.
Yeah.
Like, almost any move I made was probably going to work out, but the chess one did actually make you think some.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I found, like, with the chess one, it took me a few turns to actually even understand the mechanic. And then once I got it, I was like, oh, okay. But, like, I took a lot of face damage before I actually understood those mechanics. So, I did it in one shot on normal, but, like you said, Jim, at least it kind of makes you think, and it's different. So, I enjoyed it.
So, I've been playing it on heroic.
Right.
Since you don't have to worry about your cards, because it has the deck for you, and it's almost entirely the same, except your hero power is now just to move one mana, move one piece to the left, but you can use it many times per turn as you want. But the other thing is that your deck only has 15 cards in it.
Oh.
So, it is, a lot of it probably is just draw dependent, but I beat it on the second try. The first try, I got them down to one health, but then just couldn't do anything.
Mm.
But it is very cool, and not, like, horribly hard, it seems.
Hmm.
I know Ro said it took him, I think, 10 turns to, or 10 tries to do it, but probably one of those things where it's like, if it's starting to look bad, just restart it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? There's no penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, and with only 15 cards in your deck, if you fall behind, you're not coming back.
Absolutely. All right, well, I think that's probably going to do it for us with our patron hangout tonight. So thank you guys so much for joining us. If you guys are interested in supporting The Gamers Inn, you can do so at patreon.com/thegamersinn. We are working towards our goal of a Thursday night game night again. Right now, we are past our goal for these wonderful hangouts once a month. So you can find us every third Thursday. Right. Doing the patron hangout. So keep that in mind if you guys are supporting The Gamers Inn. Make sure that you are connected to Discord, because that's where we pull people in from. So if you are a patron of The Gamers Inn but you don't actually have a patron flag on Discord, please let me know, because unfortunately it's not automatic. I have to go in there and do it myself. So if you don't have the access that you should, please make sure that you are hitting me up and getting that. All of the links to Discord and everything else are, again, at patreon.com/thegamersinn. So thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find, I don't actually have my show notes up, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that I do at the end of
GamersInPodcast.com, Other A-Move TV shows, Joss Plays, R. Murphy, thanks to you, the patrons.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So thank you to everyone for supporting the show. And if you would like to let us know what you think about No Man's Sky or Hearthstone or Overwatch, then please email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com.
I can't take no more No Man's Sky. I can't take it. It's just, it hurts. It hurts.
It's just because you're so wrong, Ryan.
It's just because I care with me. Too much. Oh, the internet is just agrees with you with GIFs and memes and crying developers.
If people want more thoughts on No Man's Sky and the cool things and the not so good things, I'd recommend listening to Garrett's most recently recorded Angry Nerd.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to Bill Kolar about it, and they go in a lot of depth and detail about, because they are both kind of thinking of, it's cool and it's fun, but it's also kind of grindy and
shallow
bad in some ways. So you get a lot of good information from that.
Yeah, it's a good recommendation, and something that I mentioned last night as well. Just it's another informed sort of opinion piece on No Man's Sky. So if you haven't heard everything you need to know about why you shouldn't play No Man's Sky, certainly go check out The Angry Nerd. But I think they lean more on the positive side as well. I know Garrett went in with zero expectations and ended up in finding some enjoyment there. So definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, they're both hoping that the promised free DLC and updates and everything will improve some of the problems, give them like more to do in the game.
More minerals.
So again, guys, if you're looking for any of Garrett's work, you can find that over at amove.tv. All right, that is going to do it for us tonight. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you next Wednesday. Bye, everyone.
Bye.